There's only one night a year when you can open the door and see Death himself waiting on your doorstep, peering through those empty eyes and carrying that enormous glimmering scythe, and it's fun. It can even be cute. That is the heart and the fun of the trick or treat. Now, it's unlikely that many of those of you listening are planning on going out begging for candy this year, but in all likelihood, you're going to be participating in at least one of the same activities that defined the childhood Halloween experience. Dressing up. And how incredible is that? For a brief period, you no longer have to be yourself. Is that freeing? Today on the program, we're talking about Halloween. Hello, Laurier. This is the Cordcast. Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Cordcast. I'm Carlos Wilde, host of the program and features editor at the newspaper. Now, as we move into listening today, I just want to ask, what are your Halloween experiences? Was Halloween a fundamental part of your childhood? Sometimes we get too caught up in our own experiences, and we forget that others don't look at things the same way that we do. Today on the show, I sat down with a couple members of our staff to talk about Halloween. But before we begin, I just want to make a quick disclaimer that the opinions expressed in this program are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily reflect the intended nature of the content or the opinions of any other members of our staff. This program was recorded on October the 22nd. Thanks again for listening. All right, and we are here with the latest edition of the Cordcast. That would be the Cord's weekly podcast. It's an exciting program everyone enjoys listening to. I'm joined here in the studio by a couple members of our editorial board. I'd like you guys to introduce yourselves, and if you could, please tell me your favorite and least favorite Halloween candy.
Okay, so my name is Alan. I am the graphics editor here at the Cord. I think my favorite candy for Halloween would be Mars bars. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
And my least favorite might be Smarties. I never understood the fascination with those.
Like the Canadian Smarties?
Yeah, the Canadian Smarties.
I'm an M&M guy.
Yeah, I think it's just the exclusivity that like America doesn't have Canadian Smarties, because they're called, what we have as Rockets are Smarties in the United States.
No.
Yeah, they don't have Smarties.
Oh,
like
shit.
Like the chocolate-coated M&M type things, those don't exist in the States.
Oh, shit.
I think it's just part of that Canadian, we have this, like the ketchup chips and
all
whatever.
All dressed?
Yeah.
Are dressed all over, I guess.
Yeah. So, and who else have we got here?
I'm Curtis Rideout. I'm the editor-in-chief of The Cord, and this is actually my first time on our podcast, so I'm really excited to be here. My favorite Halloween candy is, by default, anything Reese's. And my least favorite is, like, it's just a really hard question. That's all I can say.
It is difficult. I think I got a bottle of water once.
But this question is flawed, because, like, there's no candy. Like, I don't have a least favorite candy.
Yeah.
But when someone gives you raisins or water, for example, you're like, okay, well, not going to that house next year, or I don't know. I remember just a small Halloween tale. Can I do this?
Yeah, sure.
I go off on a tangent. Like, when I was a kid, there was one place that gave out cans of pop, and it was like, you like trick or treat for like 4 hours, then you start getting thirsty, and you're like, all right, we're going to hit that house that gives out cans of pop.
Right. Yeah.
We're checking that out, and we're coming back with Darth Vader masks a second time.
Yeah.
And all that.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It's good times.
Awesome.
Halloween anecdote.
I think I can get behind the Reese's, like the peanut butter cups. I think those probably are the best Halloween candy. I can agree with that. But anyway, we have a new issue coming out on Wednesday. Obviously, this will be our last issue before Halloween, so there is a bit of a Halloween spin on the content. We got a story on Halloween for Hunger in the news section that would be worth reading. What else is in the issue, Alan?
One article that I'm really excited about is Andrea's article about whether there is should be an age limit for trick-or-treating. It's in the opinion section, and I know that's something that he feels really strongly about, so happy to read that.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely, disclaimer, Andreas, the president of Elusip, has a passion for Halloween, and we've been hearing about it, and you'll probably hear about it, or you'll see it in our paper, that's for sure. yeah, we've got lots of Halloween content for you coming up.
Awesome.
Okay, yeah, there was this one story that's been kind of like being pitched by our arts and life editor Shai for like a month or two, and it just kind of like panned out and happened to work really well right now, obviously because of Halloween and everything. But it's a story about horror video games, and the top, well, I think it's a probably be a listicle, but we'll see how the writer approaches it. But it's just going to be a breakdown of like some of the best horror video games, and I think that's going to be a real important one, because that's definitely an interesting medium for the horror genre to take on. And I think it marries everything together very well.
yeah, I get that. Do you guys play any horror video games?
I played like Silent Hill.
Okay, yeah.
And like all those puzzle teasers that they used to put out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I've never played like Left 4 Dead or anything like
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
No zombie games.
So
on that note, Call of Duty, the zombies. Does everyone remember that?
But are they scary zombies though? That's the thing about zombies. The zombies can easily be scary, or they can just be like an action movie thing.
Yeah, I would say there's definitely a tinge of some scariness to it. Do you remember playing? You played Call of Duty Black Ops, right? With the zombies.
To be honest, I actually haven't.
And no?
On the subject of horror games, Halloween's not a very good holiday for me, because I've never been able to stomach watching scary movies
or
scary games and things like that. Yeah. So I haven't really participated in that.
Oh, man. I feel bad for assuming, but like I thought everyone played Nazi zombies back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a fun time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was something else.
Getting back to the program, obviously, we've been talking about Halloween a whole bunch here because it is topical. Let's be real, Halloween's topical right now. So we wanted to just take a little bit of a look at some of our own Halloween experiences. I know we kind of, like Curtis was saying, we kind of assume that everyone's experience of these things is the same, that everybody plays the same games and, you know, you get where I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. It's just... But there are much, much different experiences people have with Halloween. I know I was raised in a very Christian household, and my parents did not approve of Halloween. I know when I was very little, they took me and my brother out, and we were dressed as, I think, a witch and Satan. And
classic.
Yeah, and you know, they're these cute pictures. We were like, I don't know, we must have been like 4 or 5 years old, something like that. But after that, just looking back, my parents just weren't comfortable with our acknowledging those kinds of symbols. And it kind of sucked as a kid, because everybody would get so excited about Halloween and dressing up and all that, and I wouldn't get to participate in that. Have you participated in Halloween all your life, Curtis?
Yeah, Halloween was definitely huge in for me growing up. I'd say probably mostly because it gave me the chance to dress up as whoever I wanted. That was definitely like the huge thing for me, even from when I was like Batman when I was like 5,
mm-hmm.
to being like trying to be the guy from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas when I was like 13.
Yeah.
That was my last Halloween. But no, I was very like, it was like a rite of passage, I guess, growing up for me. My parents made that a very desirable thing to do, right? And then even so, I remember when we started trick-or-treating on our own, too. Like, our parents would kind of, like, spy on us and that sort of thing. Like, mm-hmm. they never... It was, like, that was the night you got to go out and kind of run amok. Especially once my parents weren't involved anymore. So that's definitely, like, a huge part of the experience. Is, like, the whole Devil's Night and all mm-hmm. that, too. That's, like, a whole other story.
Right.
You know?
Like, the repressed stuff.
Yeah. The hooligan stuff,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I get it. And it just kind of celebrates that for one night a year.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Like those, kind of like those Purge movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of, yeah, one time to get all those symbols out, you know, and express all those things. I never egged any houses, just for the record.
Yeah, me neither. Never happened.
What about you, Alan? What's your experience with Halloween?
So, when I was growing up, somehow, I always got the impression that my family was super poor, which I know in hindsight we weren't like that bad or that poor off, but so back then I'd never asked my parents for a Halloween costume, right? So like even though occasionally like you'd get like these like the skeleton shirt from like the like bargain bin of like Walmart or something. Yeah, so I just never really went trick or treating, and to cope with that, I think I would tell myself that like I wasn't very interested in it in any way. But looking back, I think I was always like very curious about what it was like for other people, because it's a big thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so very similar to your experience, I suppose, Carlos. Yeah.
So you didn't really go out trick or treating much?
Yeah, like I definitely did once or twice, but not.
So what would you do on Halloween night then for most of your youth? Just like any other night?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I know. I just know that there were like Christian organizations that my parents were linked into that would throw special non-satanic Halloween events that we would go to, where there was like a carnival at a church every year on Halloween. You weren't allowed to dress up. It was strictly prohibited, but they gave you a giant bag of candy at the end of the night. And
well, that sounds all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, right? Whatever you gotta do.
Yeah.
It's better than walking 5 miles. And,
yeah, you know, that's true.
That's the positive, yeah. I guess, yeah. Right? Just reminds me of me growing up with Halloween. I remember there was one kid in my class who his dad was a preacher, and he was actually the only kid in my class who didn't go out for Halloween, and it was like, you didn't talk about that with him, mm-hmm. You know? Like, and he was like, oh yeah, I don't care about Halloween, like Halloween's lame and that sort of thing. He kind of brushed it off, mm-hmm. But as soon as like that kind of stuff started, he was a very vocal kid. He was a nice kid, like loud, talking to everyone, like very, like just always happy and having fun. And then Halloween was like, it was definitely one of the quieter times of year for him. And like, like as a kid, we're all like 9, 10, like none of us had any idea, obviously, what was going on. But I just remember thinking like, that was the first time, obviously, I was like, oh shit, not everyone goes out for Halloween,
mm-hmm.
Right? You know, it's just so much my neighborhood was like 500 people too. So it was like, you went to every house and everyone
right.
saw you. You knew everyone. You saw everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very communal thing.
Did people knock on like his parents' house? Like go to his house for candy? Or
I guess this is where it kind of gets interesting too, because I did grow up on like the outskirts of the country. So there was a lot of kids like him, for example. His family lived out in the middle of nowhere. So it wasn't like there was trick-or-treaters coming or anything like that. So I imagine like they didn't even, like before they went to school, they probably weren't even that aware of Halloween in general, other than those marketing ploys,
okay, yeah,
that we're all subjected to,
right?
But still, yeah, it was just interesting. That definitely influenced the dynamic in my town. And I feel like, on a side note, as I got older, it was like the less houses left their lights on, right? Like even it got to the point where like my family doesn't even give out candy anymore because no one comes. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Can just looking at anybody's Halloween experiences as limited seems kind of sad too.
It honestly does.
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about it in this sort of environment.
Yeah.
But
wild. Well, I know. When I was a kid, I liked to dress up in costumes, and there was like another Christian family that had a costume party at another time in the year that I always got very excited about. Because I think when you're going through adolescence and when you're very young, you feel insecure about yourself in different ways. And it is liberating to dress up as your favorite characters or, you know, whatever, monsters or whatever. You don't have to be yourself, and that's
mm-hmm.
freeing.
Yeah, that's quite poetic.
Yeah. I agree with that, I think, for sure. And, like, even as a means to express what you like
mm-hmm.
to communicate it to other people, you know? Like, you don't get to wear Kiss makeup every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, you could. You definitely could. But you're not going to turn heads on Halloween for something like that, I guess, is the moral of the story. Yeah.
Want to get into a couple of questions this week that I just want to ask you guys. Just a couple of simple questions that relate to Halloween, kind of touches on stuff that we've already talked about. The first question that I had listed here, I know Alan already sort of answered for us, and that's, do you like to be scared? Now, Alan, can I assume that the answer to that is no?
That's a safe bet, yeah.
Okay. All right, Curtis, what about you?
I'm going to have to say the exact opposite. I enjoy being scared, but I will say the more I enjoy it, the more rare it becomes, which is the double-edged sword there, I guess.
Yeah, I get that.
Something like that.
So what are you most afraid of, Alan?
Oh, wow. I don't know. There's so many things. Yeah, but I guess for me, what's realistic is most terrifying, right? Like scenarios that I think could potentially happen to me, that's where like my heartbeat
starts going
up. Yeah.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that. And that's like, that's another reason why I'm so over the jump horror movie. Mm-hmm. Like the new, they just kind of, they don't try anymore, I guess, is essentially what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But, like, it's just, they're like, let's scare them with, like, a cat popping out, shit like that. You
just
know
jumps
I mean?
Out of nowhere and
like,
you're supposed to be terrified.
That makes your heartbeat faster, but, like, I'm looking for something that, like on a more overarching trend, makes your heartbeat faster. And, you know, it doesn't give you any sort of solace at the end. I guess that's true horror for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we could get into a discussion about movies, I could be talking about that forever.
Well, let's just do a brief talk about movies then. Alan, do you like any scary movies?
Well, one movie that I haven't seen yet that I'm looking forward to, I think you mentioned it earlier, Carlos, is, was it Happy Death Day?
Happy Death Day.
That one's really like Groundhog's Day, so, yeah.
It's basically the same thing. Yeah. Curtis, favorite horror movie?
Oh, man, that's like such a tough question. Can I say three?
Absolutely.
Okay, default, I'm going to say Videodrome, because it's filmed in Canada, which is sick. James Woods is in it, and Debbie Harry's in it. I'm not going to tell you about it, though. You just got to check that one out. But also, I really dig that one, It Follows. Came out a few years ago. I don't know if anyone saw that.
Yeah, that was great.
But it's one of those movies that makes you think after the theater. Like, it doesn't tie up nice at the end, you know? Like, it gives you something to think about afterwards, and I think that's what I'm really going for in a horror movie. But then there's also that one called The Strangers, where the killers come in and kill everyone, and then they just leave, and you never figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
That's horror. I like that.
Right, and I think there's a sequel to that one coming out like next year.
Oh, yeah?
We'll probably explain. We'll probably just give it all away and ruin everything that made it good. Alan, so you haven't watched a lot of scary movies, eh?
Yeah, not too many, I'd say.
Well, when you get scared, what do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah, how do you make yourself feel better when you're scared?
I guess.
That's a good question.
I don't know. Whoa, yeah, that's something pretty profound. I don't know. I think, it depends on what is the cause of the fear, I guess. But if it's, for me, I think it's usually something that, like, I don't know or I'm, like, unsure about. So I guess just, like, turning around, looking straight at it kind of makes it feel a little better for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you grow up thinking there were monsters under your bed, monsters in your basement, anything like that?
Oh,
not rationally thinking it, obviously,
man.
But just sort of, it was sort of there. You were kind of convinced there was a monster in the basement.
I'm just going to say something for the record here. I grew up in a century home.
Okay.
There's no such thing as a century home that doesn't have ghosts.
Yo.
So that's all I'm saying about monsters or anything like that. I'm not saying I'm a believer or anything. Just saying, try living in a century home. Yeah, that's it.
Well, there's a reason we keep asking these questions, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason we keep talking about ghosts and thinking about ghosts, so.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, moving on from the creepy stuff, we are going to go to the last section of the podcast, which is something good. Something good. Something nice. So, I just want to ask you guys, from the last week, what is something good that you have experienced, that you've seen, that you've watched? Whatever the case, something positive from your past week. For me, personally, I've been watching the show Mindhunter on Netflix, and it is mind-blowing. It is incredible. Everybody needs to watch it. One of the most, like, original TV dramas that I've seen, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's up there for sure.
Yeah.
David Fincher taking a stab at something new.
Oh, and everything David Fincher touches is gold.
Oh, it's David Fincher.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, and, like, I heard he's trying to move towards Netflix. And that's a smart move, yo.
Yeah, well, he created House of Cards, too, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, at least he was one of the creators or executive producers or whatever.
That makes me want to watch it a little bit more.
Yeah, and it feels like David Fincher, for sure. I'll have to
check that out.
So, something good, Curtis.
All right, I got one. I got a really good one. Actually, in Lucip news, this past week, Radio Laurier hosted the annual Dirty Bingo event that they do every year, and It was pretty much an all-around success. It was great to see, a good turnout. Shout out to TJ, the station manager there, for pulling everything together. And it was just good to see people from Elusive coming together to make something happen. So, yeah, good job Radio Laurier, and good job Elusive.
Awesome. And Alan, something good.
Well, before I start, I just wanted to briefly jump on what Curtis said. I remember on Tuesday night coming into the office and walking into the kitchen, and there was just this humongous dildo. Just really unexpected.
Yeah.
Anyway, something good for my week is my girlfriend and I were practicing at the school until midnight, and then we decided. It's very rare for us to go outside and get like a midnight snack. So we went to Frat Burger and we got a poutine, and it was humongous. Like, this thing weighed like a pound.
Not bad.
Yeah. Ate it, went home, and fell right asleep. So that was really nice.
That's awesome.
I need to be grateful for things like that more, honestly. I'm going to shout out the Domino's pizza I had last night.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So this is awesome. Thanks a lot for coming on the show, guys.
It's going to
be the end of the program here. If anyone listening has any thoughts, questions, or concerns, shoot me an email at features@thecord.ca, and have an incredible week, and stay safe for Halloween. Don't hurt yourselves. Okay, thanks. Bye.
A quick thank you to all the staff and volunteers at Elusive for making this program possible. Our music was provided by Steve Dave Perlow.